Welcome. This is the Dragon Thistle Rugby Pod. Right then, welcome to the pod. We're back. We've had a couple of weeks off.
Again. That's again. My fault this time.
Yeah, we're apologising. But yeah, listen, at the end of the day, you know, we do this because we enjoy rugby and it's just one of the things, unfortunately. You had a bit of family come to meet you, so family comes first, in fairness. And yeah, so yeah, we're back. Obviously, a lot's happened the last couple of weeks. You've been up too much, mate. We'll do the shit talk first. Let's get out of the way.
Yeah, so I had my sister and her fella Paz over and their two kids. So that was all right. Paz, animal that he is, like, just drank all my beer. I was like, cheers for that. But just did the family stuff. Went to like a little, like, it's called Folly Farm. It's like a little, it's a farm. It's got like a fair and all that kind of stuff. So I did that the weekend and that was good. And then played some football, pulled my hamstring, so I'm fucked now. No fizz for a little while.
Old.
So I'll get fat. Yeah, basically getting old. So yeah. And then this weekend, obviously going to the Scotland Australia game with my dad. So looking forward to that. Getting on the beer with who? So it should be decent.
Jealous because you're going to live rugby, and jealous because you're on the beer with who as well.
Good laughing, eh, old who.
Oh, I love it, mate. Love it. Get him on the port.
It's not that. It's just like, try and drink with him. I just can't. He just drinks me under the table.
That's why I like drinking with your dad. Mm-hmm. So. I've had like a couple of weekends on it, to be fair. So, you know, the week before I was at Birkenhead Park Rugby Club when I watched the first team play the derby against Waterloo. Very good game, to be fair.
Didn't they offer you a game?
Right, so yeah, so then basically Birkenhead Park is like my local rugby club and started going to watch them this season for a few games and stuff. Pretty decent standards, fair, like it's good stuff. And so I was there for the game against Waterloo, which is like there from Liverpool, so it's like the derby. So that was a quality game, but the 50th I was going to was actually at the rugby club. So it was like back to my mates quickly to get changed and then back to the party. And sort of towards the end of the night, yeah, I got lynched in the bog. I got offered a game for the seconds. Well, I walked out and I was like, yeah, mate, listen, I haven't played in a very long time. Pretty sure I won't get a game. And this sort of like, this lad who was trying to convince me brings this other bloke over and he's like, all right, mate, all right. And he's like, look, I found a second row. I have found a genuine second row. And I went, listen, mate, I said, I can't imagine I'd get a game. I haven't played for a long time. And this guy goes, you definitely will. And I said, I don't think I will. And he went, you will. I'm the head coach.
You couldn't have been that drunk, though, because if you were drunk, you'd have been going like, yeah, mate, I'll play. Yeah,
no but I told him I'd play, mate. I was steaming. I told him I'd play. I told him I had five broken ribs. I was still sort of suffering the ends of five broken ribs. So I said, I'm telling him I can play. Definitely couldn't play. You know, you tap me on the side. It's still a bit tender. And I give him my number and everything, mate. I went all in. I'm not going to lie. I went all in. Give him my number. And he said, you're getting a text. I was like, right, where'd you train? And they train basically down the road from me, in fairness, at the rugby club. So, to be fair, once I'm a bit fit, I might actually give it a run out just to get a bit of fizz. But yeah, apparently I'm guaranteed a game. I mean, it was hilarious watching because, I mean, they didn't text me because the pair of them were more drunk than me, which is saying something because I was steaming. And the coach was running around. And honestly, I'm not joking. He was just telling people. There was about six people in the bar, by the way. And he was telling people, I've got a new second row, look at the size of him. And I'm thinking, mate, you haven't got a clue who I am. You don't know that I am fat, unfit, not done a sport in a long time, and just a fan, really. So, I think he thought he found Alan Wynne Jones. And reality is, he found Fatty Jones, really, to be fair. Fatty Sean Jones. So there's no debut at the moment, though. So a bit long-winded story there, just to say no.
If you play, let me know. I'll come back just to watch that game.
Fuck off, mate.
I'll be there. And
as long as we
will be there, mate.
As long as we go on the piss afterwards.
You'll be in hospital.
Yeah, I'll be fit around about January. Sorry, I'll be fat round about January. That's what I should say. But yeah, and then I was on the last weekend, then up in Chester, first time probably, oh, I don't know, 10 years, potentially. Yeah, there's another good one. Pardon me, I've got a bit of a cough, so I'm going to be rude this episode. So yeah, basically, yeah, I'm going to have a missus away in Blackpool this weekend, so I've got the TV to myself. I'm going to sit in, recover, and just enjoy the rugby this weekend. No beers, I don't think.
After that,
you will. I struggled there.
You'll definitely be drinking.
No, I didn't. I didn't drink on Saturday for the New Zealand game.
You bet you wish you did.
I wish I drank a lot. But we'll get to that anyway. So yeah, so that's our socials. I know Paz loves them. Paz will listen to this pod right up until about
now.
Point. Right, okay, let's get on to rugby then. So obviously there's like a few bits of news coming out of Welsh rugby and a little bit from Scotland. I might as well start in Scotland because I've got a few bits. Obviously there's a few withdrawals and a few additions to the squad.
Yeah. So yeah, so they called up three uncapped props. And that's come under the news that Roy Sutherland's injured and perhaps out for the whole of the Autumn Series. So they've called up Nick Otterett from Northampton, Javan Sebastian of Scarlets, and the Wasps prop Robin Hislop. So they've been added to the squad, so I imagine all in to see what they're like before they decide which one's going to replace Rory Sutherland. Although I think Schoeman and Kebble have probably got, between the two of them, have got the starting and the sub spot tied down for now. But obviously, if something happens to one of them, then someone needs to step up and come in. And then also, Rory Darge has had to be dropped out of the squad for injury as well, which is a shame. I was really looking forward to him making his Scotland debut. I think he's a Hamish Watson in the making by the looks of him, the way he's played so far this season, since he's gone to Glasgow, really. Blows my mind that Edinburgh let him go. And then two other players, Magnus Bradbury and Damien Hoyland, they've dropped out of the squad. I think that's just they've gone back to the clubs because I don't think they're needed. Bradbury was a late call-up to the squad for the Tonga game anyway. Hoyland was there, but I think they're just there as cover and probably as tackle pads. So they've gone back to Edinburgh now. That's all I've got for the Scotland news, I think. Other than Matt Fagerson's come out just saying what a great coach Dave Rennie was, and now he enjoyed playing under him, and looking forward to catching up with him this weekend, basically.
Right. Scott Cummins is called up as well. Not available, is he? But I think he's training.
Is he? Back from injury, then?
He's been called up. Yeah.
Happy with that.
Yeah.
Need some second rows. I'm surprised Richie Gray's not in the squad still, but...
He's down, not as available for selection or something, or whether it's selection for this weekend, but he's... he's definitely been called up. Yeah, I remember seeing it the other day. Because he had a hand injury, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's his problem, yeah. So, obviously, talking about injuries, a fairly brutal game for Wales last week on the scoreboard and in the medical side as well. So, the news came out about Alwyn Jones and Ross Moriarty, who both went off with shoulder injuries, both going to have surgery. And the flip on this is weird. So, when you see Alwyn Jones go off, he looked in pain, but afterwards, coaching staff were saying he's not really that much pain. He didn't have a sling on. He was chatting. He was shaking people's hands with the shoulder. And you think he'd probably be less. Moriarty, I mean, he's looked quite ruthless. But with Moriarty, actually looks like, even though he's had surgery, there's potential it'll be back by sort of Christmas, January. I'd probably put January or February on it, really. But for Alwyn Jones, massive blow. Looks like he's going to be out till April. For me, I just see the season off. I'm not sure whether it's worth it by that time, unless the Ospreys are sort of going into the semi-finals, quarter-finals, semi-finals and finals of the URC. Yeah, massive. I kind of look at it in one way. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, I just think it's time for someone to step up. I think it's also time to get us a new captain. Get us a new captain as well. start looking to the future. And it could be that this is his last season. You know, it's the second time his shoulder's gone, like you said, about the same one in South Africa. Could it be the same sort of injury? We'll see. But yeah, long term without our leader, which is huge, to be fair. You got Reece Davis and Shane Lewis Hughes have been called up to replace them both. Good. Reece Davis should have probably been in originally. And then we've also called up because Ken Owens has, I don't think he might play now with his back injury, which is another experienced player. But we've called up Bradley Roberts from Ulster. I'll be honest, I seen this last Friday while I was out on the lash and didn't have a clue who he was. I'm not even gonna lie, but he's played 10 games for Ulster. He was at RGC previously. So it's a nice little connection to North Wales there. You know, players like Sam Parry and Ivan Phillips might be a little bit upset by it. There's a lot of people saying, you know, why should he get called up? To be fair, I couldn't say whether he's good or not. If you read a lot of reactions on social media, not saying social media is a great place to go for your opinions and stuff, but a lot of Ulster fans seem to think he's a very good player. And it sounds like Ireland were going to sort of bend the rules to try and get him to be Irish. Not bend the rules, but something like a qualification period. They were going to wipe off a year that he went home or something like that. Like, I don't know. But yeah, there's talks that we stole him from Ireland. I don't think we have, really. His grandmother's Welsh, so he qualifies, end of. He's 25, so he's a decent age. We'll see how it goes. Apparently, very explosive carries. His arrows could need a bit of work, which is not great because anyone who watched the game at the weekend will know they weren't great either. But we'll see. There's been a lot of just people just angry, and it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, this is international rugby at the moment, isn't it?
It certainly is, mate. Yeah.
For Wales and Scotland, who don't have the biggest playing pools. You know, it is what it is. And me and you, like anyone else, we have our opinions. That's why we do this podcast. It really doesn't matter what we think, does it? We can have our opinion, but if Pivac thinks this guy's better than what's in Wales, if he comes on against South Africa as a blinder, all them people who are saying he shouldn't be in the team will be kissing his ass, won't they? So,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
We're just fickle. So, yeah, so he's been called up. another little bit of good news for Wales. Talupe Faletau is returning to Wales. Hilarious, really. It was reported by Wales Online and a few other places that he'd be joining Cardiff the next day. Bath come out and make a statement saying Talupe Faletau is returning to Wales to an unnamed club. Probably because officially it hasn't actually happened, but it was quite funny. Everyone knows where he's going. He's going to Cardiff. Great signing for Cardiff. You know, hopefully he'll play quite a bit for him. I think one of his decisions to return to Wales is, I think his injuries before he went to Bath and play in England, he was, you know, granite, just didn't get injury. And I think last couple of seasons, he's picked up a lot of injuries. I think he knows he's going to get looked after a little bit better in Wales. But hopefully, yeah, I think, you know, Cardiff's been crying out for a number eight for since Nick Williams left. So, you know, a guy who was nominated for Player of the Year in the Six Nations this year. It's not a bad sign. And so, yeah, that's fantastic news. But I suppose even better news that's been announced today, 25 professional contracts, but 25 contracts are to be offered to the Welsh ladies team. And that has to be said, it's great work from Nigel Walker, who's only been in the job for a month and he's managed to sort of get these contracts through. I think it's going to be to start off with 10 professional contracts, 10 full-time contracts, and then 15 at sort of semi-professional. The numbers haven't come out, but the rumour is it's sort of going to be, because everyone wants to know how much they want to get paid. I think it's going to be under 25 grand a year, which doesn't sound a lot, obviously, but it's a massive stepping stone. Massive stepping stone. I think the WRU has rightly took a lot of shit over how they've treated the Welsh women's team. And if you think about, you know, most rugby fans will know the name Jasmine Joyce. Probably, yeah.
Class.
Potentially the best winger in women's game. I don't know that for sure, but if you actually look at her highlights, especially for the sevens, she loves a tackle when she's trying to get back, doesn't she? So players like that need to be full-time contracted and they need to be the faces now. A lot of talk this weekend, if you listen to other podcasts and stuff, was about, you know, whether this game at the weekend was worth it, you know, the WRU 4 million from it. Who's to say that the 2 million that's going to go into this hasn't come from that? So if 2 million from that game has gone into the women's game, it was worth it. Fantastic news. Fantastic is exactly what we need. And like you say, the numbers aren't great to start off with, but it's a start. And hopefully it can only get better from there. So good news today for Welsh ladies.
Like you're saying about the money, like people have been saying about the game, should they have gone ahead and all that. I'm like, what you just said there, that's potential. That's basically giving women, Welsh rugby players, an opportunity to do that as their job. That's basically providing jobs for people. And it might not just be them. It could be people that work for WRU, just admin staff and things like that might have kept jobs. So if that's the case, then it was worth playing that game outside the international window.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the other thing to think of is, I think the numbers are quite low necessarily in wages. Is more surrounded by the fact that I think they're going to start getting match day fees, which I don't think they were getting. And there's other bits and pieces. I think there's like bonuses and stuff involved and all that. So I think even the ones who are on sort of the semi-professional contracts, they'll be able to get something like subsidised, to lift that as well if they play. It's only a positive for me. And, if there was anyone out there trying to be negative about it, I mean, you're mental in my eyes. But, good news for the women's game. Right, okay. Let's get into the Ruggers starting on the 2:15 or 2:30 you played on Saturday. Scotland versus Tonga.
Yeah, 2:30 kickoff it was.
An entertaining game, but I'll let you crack on. Your thoughts.
I didn't watch it initially on a Saturday because I was playing football. So I rewatched the full game on the Sunday. I enjoyed the game. I was enjoying when Scotland win and they try and play attacking rugby, and seeing like Kyle Steyn coming out, scoring 4 tries on his second game for Scotland, and Roosh McLean 2 tries on his debut. Blair Kinghorn doing a job at 10, to be fair. He did all right. But at the same time, the bit I suppose that wasn't good is from the Tongan point of view, is like they had 4 days to prepare. They were missing players. Some of their players aren't even professional. They're full-time professionals. So I suppose from that, when you've got a tier two nation coming across playing a tier one nation, and they're trying to close that gap between the two teams or between tier twos and tier ones, you want them to come full noise and really and take it to them. And unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. But for the Scotland players that all came in, that they all did what they were supposed to do. I don't think you learned anything new about Scotland, because of no disrespect to Tonga, but because of the caliber of the opposition they played. But they tried. The strike moves worked. They were physical, which you've got to be against Tonga. It was a very, very professional performance, is how I would describe it. But they're going to have to step that up massively going in to play Australia next week. I suppose the thing that I like about having these, it's not a warm-up game, but the game, as they're building the quality of opposition, that they've played all the games in the URC, but usually you have a couple of European games before you go into the autumn break for the internationals. Obviously, the European games then ups the intensity before you go into internationals. I suppose we're playing that game against Tonga. That's probably an upper level from what they were doing in the URC. And hopefully then they kick it on again against Australia. I hope so, because obviously I'm at the game this weekend. But it was nice to see like Jamie Dolby coming off the bench and getting his first cap. Ross Thompson getting his first cap. think Jamie Hodgson in the line-out on his first start was calling the line-out, which is, like, huge responsibility for him. Ali Price and Jamie Ritchie co-captaining. You know, I think, like, all the boxes were ticked, you know, a few errors here and there. But largely, I know, I think Gregor Townsend, Steve Tandy would be, like, really, really happy with how it went. And I don't think there was much more they could really ask from them for a first outing. And then on the other part of it, I suppose, was just seeing fans back at Murrayfield again was class to see. So, yeah, overall, can't really complain. The one thing I didn't like is, although Kinghorn did well at 10, I think it was a missed opportunity to start Thompson. So, like, as good as Kinghorn is as a player, and he's played fullback and played wing, and obviously he can do a job at 10. I think, like, Thompson's ceiling is a lot higher at 10, as in he'll be able to play at a higher level of 10. He's younger than Kinghorn. In my opinion, he's already a better 10 than Kinghorn. And I feel like if you start playing Kinghorn ahead of him at 10, you're probably going to stunt, like, Thompson's development, and Thompson's the better option at 10. You know, for me, Thompson's the guy that's going to replace Finn Russell in a couple of years. It's not Adam Hastings. You know, Adam Hastings might do a year or so, but for me, the long-term replacement to Finn Russell is Ross Thompson. And we need to have the opportunity to give him game time when it's there, and not just going, oh, we'll give Blair King on a game there now because we can't get him in at wing or fullback. I'd have played King on fullback. I'd have started him there anyway, but because he needs games at fullback, because if Hogg's not there, you know, Kinghorn's the one that's likely to play fullback. So he needs to gain time at fullback at international level. So I do think they got that wrong. But other than that, I was pretty happy.
Yeah, so the thing about, just to piggyback the Ross Thompson before I make my other points, when he actually came on, he came on at fullback as well, which baffled
me. I thought he came
me.
On at 10 and Kinghorn went to fullback.
He went to fullback. I was like, wow. Well, that changed. I know when he first initially came on, he went to fullback because they said it in comments. Just like, oh, is he going to fullback? I think they were a bit surprised. By the way, John Barkley shown again why he's one of the best commentators or analysts out right now as well. He was a quality.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
So, I mean, I'm kind of piggybacking everything that you said there, really. When I heard on the commentary that they had 4 days to prepare, like, part of me is like, so the Wales-New Zealand one was obviously it's a cash cow game for them, wasn't it? You know, there was $4 million made for them. They had to pay New Zealand $2 million. You know, is what it is. And part of me thinks letting an international team play with 4 days preparation, it's not the Barbarians, it's Tonga. First of all, I'm thinking that's disgusting. But then it almost is what it is.
I think they get a share of the gate, didn't they, as well, Tonga? So that's money that they would have needed.
Yeah, they'll get paid, obviously. I'm not sure the figures are anything like that. Like, the figures for the Wales game only comes out because it's New Zealand, really. Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I thought Tonga in the first half, although the game was done by half-time, I thought, you know, they had the moment, played a nice little bit of rugby and stuff. They got that giant winger who ran over Darcy Graham twice.
Yeah, twice.
fair dues to Darcy Graham. I love him because he just gets back up. He's small. He's small, but he just gets back up. Without being disrespectful to Tonga, it was a training game really for Scotland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kyle Staines try where Kinghorn like did a kick. I thought honestly it was a terrible kick. And then it just kind of bounced his way. And,
he's getting chased by a prop, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock him for 4 tries. Anyone scoring 4 tries in the game, well done. I mean, to be honest, though, he might have scored 4 tries, but he wasn't the best winger on the pitch. Rufus McLean, sidestep, unbelievable. It's the sidestep and the pace straight away. I'd love to see that against a bit like Lucy Samet, you know. I think he's awesome pace and all that, but I always think you want to see it again. I would love to see him against Australia this weekend, Rufus McLean. I generally think he could do damage to people. That step and pace straight away, you know, that's a, you know, I don't want to compare him, but it's a Shane Williams trait, that sort of little sidestep and pace straight away, bang. So I thought he was the better winger, which is horrible to Carl Steyn because, you know, any winger who scores four tries with that. But yeah, it was an entertaining game. I thought second half died off a bit, but I think it always does when you've built up such a big score and you start to bring all the subs in, don't you?
Yeah.
And it changed up. And it was nice to see all the sort of the new caps and stuff. So, I mean, it was, yeah, Scotland done a job. I mean, I don't think it will affect Scotland. So when Wales played Canada in the summer, we beat them very fairly convincingly. Then we had to play Argentina. It was sort of the similar players. And you could tell that they'd fall into that trap that, you know, that was easy, so we could do the same things against Argentina. But I think with Scotland, there'll be a much changed Scotland team, won't it? Obviously be a lot of players from the sort of English sides coming back into it, and there'll also be Finn from France as well. So, yeah, I mean, can only give confidence to some of the players. I know some of them players will play, who played Saturday, you know, it'll give them the world of good. It does worry me, though, because I suppose there's part of me about these fixtures and how they've sort of, you know, like you said, there's been no European fixtures. Like someone like Hamish Watson, Australia is going to be his second start all season.
Yeah, they only played a half, I think, as well.
Yeah, you know, you've seen, you know, as we'll talk about in the Wales game, you know, there's players there who played one game, two games at sort of URC level.
Adam Beard had only played a game and a half, I think, and he's up against Vitalik.
Yeah, you know, Wyn Jones, I think, had played one game, and he wouldn't have played a full game because he's a prop. And things like that worry me. You know, whether Hamish Watson could be undercooked and will that, you know, lead to sort of potential injury, I don't know. I mean, it's a perfect game for him to come back in. There's one thing I want to talk about Scotland. What's all this co-captain bullshit? Because Jamie Ritchie did all the talking, didn't he? Make one vice captain. Doesn't work. Two captains don't work. My opinion. I remember Wales done it when we went to that World Cup in 2007. When we lost to Fiji and we got knocked out in the group stage, I think they went in with four captains, and I was like, I don't even know how it works. You can have like a captain and a vice. I just don't see how it works. It's not a criticism. I don't like it. I don't know what it doesn't compute in my mind. I've one guy, and I tell you what, they picked the right guy, Jamie Ritchie. I do think future captain for Scotland. But yeah, and it'd have been a good run out for Ali Price as well, wouldn't it? You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had one game as well, hadn't he? Yeah, he had one game for Glasgow, hadn't he?
Yeah.
Professional, in the day, Scotland done the job. It would have been much worse if they'd have turned up and it had been a close game. But they've done the job, take the confidence out, and they'll move on. I mean, Wales are going to be coming into this week having loads of confidence now once we talk about this. So, obviously, after the Scotland game, there was the main event, without trying to be horrible to Scotland and Tonga, but the main event of the day, and it was New Zealand versus Wales. New Zealand comfortably, I think is the best way to say it, comfortably beat Wales 54-16. Lots to talk about in the game, and it's not just about the tries and stuff. First things first, let's get out of the way before we talk about all the other stuff. New Zealand, by far the better team. I've heard there's, you know, people, a lot of whinging about things that went on in the game, but they are there to be talked about. They were just miles better in every category. Fitness, skills, you know, thought of mind, they were just ahead. They were brilliant. And, you know, I've heard, like, I've obviously listened to other podcasts, I've listened to, read people's comments online, and I had the same thought about this game, which a lot of other people had. It was a game where, I get really excited, especially on game day for a Wales game, even if I think, you know, we might lose. This one, I was kind of, yes, it's back, crowd's there, but I knew we were going to take a beating, like a proper beating. And so my excitement level wasn't really up there, probably as well, because I was heavily hungover, that didn't help. But so going into the game, I had this. I think I had us to lose by 36. I think we ended up losing by 38 in the end or something, wasn't it? Something like that. Anyway, so I did all right on the match pie predictor. But yeah, listen, New Zealand, unbelievable. And so, some of the skills they were pulling off, some of the handling, especially because it was a wet day as well, was great. But I mean, if I was going to talk, I'll talk about Wales first, obviously, before we get into some of the other things. So some of the positives for Wales, in my opinion, I thought the back row was very good. I thought Moriarty was playing really well, you know, kind of being a nuisance and being that physical presence before, obviously, he went off injured. I think everyone will see, will know, Tane Basham was Wales' man of the match. I know he wasn't the official man of the match, obviously not, but Tane Basham, I think, announced himself to the world.
I thought Wainwright was Wales' man of the match.
And, well, I was just about to get on to Wainwright was class. I think we found our future number eight. And it's one thing where it's Pivak turned around and said to him when Gatlin left, you're not a six, you're an eight. You're eight that can play six. And I, do you know what? I see it now. I see it. I thought he was, class. Thought he was class. Yeah, I mean, for someone like Basham, 21 years old, to be able to play that way and stand up to New Zealand, steal a few balls, carry, you know. I mean, is anyone shocked that we've got another decent number seven on the books? No one is. You know, we churn them out, don't we? Without being arrogant, we churn out sevens.
Yeah.
But, you know, as someone who's 21, I think it's a fantastic sign for Wales where, you know, you're talking about your Tippericks and Univedis at 29, 30, 31. These, you know, the next generation is pushing through there with Wainwright. I think it's 23, 24. Yeah, I thought the back row as a whole was really, really good. I was impressed by McNichol. I've seen some people who just said he was awful, and I don't know what game they were watching. I'm not saying he was perfect.
I thought he started off a bit loose, but then got better as the game went on.
But I think it's nice to see a fullback in Wales just playing heads up rugby, having a go. I didn't get mad when the intercept happened at the end, because 50-50, if that goes to hand, we pretty much go length for the pitch and score. You know, it is what it is. We were getting battered anyway. So yeah, I actually thought I was really impressed by him, to be fair. And in fairness, he stood up in defence pretty well. He was all right underneath the high ball. so yeah, I was impressed with him. It's nice to see. And I think, you know, we got Liam Williams there, and people had called him to get back in. He hasn't played a game. He's just had his appendix taken out. He might be training, but he hasn't had no minutes. And all right, maybe it's easier at fullback, but you know, you're asking him to go up against the best teams in the world without no minutes. And this is something about Wales right now, actually. I've kind of defended it over the years with Gatland and stuff, and it's actually started to piss me off. Is we seem happy to sort of pick players who've been injured, and we're like, we can get them back on the pitch. It's fine. They've got powers of recovery. And I think, you know, nowadays, especially where we're trying to look after player welfare, by saying these guys have got powers of recovery, they might be able to play, but, you know, a year down the line, how do you know Alan Wynne-Jones' shoulders are fucked because he hasn't really had enough time out, you know? The other one I thought were really good, hands off to it, hats off to him at 35. Priestley looked very good when he came off the bench.
Yeah, should have started in hindsight.
Yeah, hindsight, yeah, exactly. I mean, Anscombe was rusty. Obviously, the intercept after the 3 or 4 minutes didn't help. And yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, I think I said on here, you know, if he's fit, he's available. But, you know, yeah, Priestland should have 100% started. I thought he looked really assured. And as I said, you know, if you look at that, the team we had, there was players with just a handful of games. And coming up against a team like New Zealand... who are battle-hardened, you know, a lot of it's been made, you know, you could say maybe they're tired really, but they've been playing hard-nosed, you know, against some of the best teams in the world. And, you know, some of our players probably had one game against Zebra or Treviso or, you know, not being horrible, it's just not the same level. So, you know, for 60 minutes, we did all right. There was patches where I thought we looked okay with the ball. I did think the attack was poor, though. We were like, you know, they were reading us like a book. Johnny Williams, I felt really sorry for him. Probably about 3 or 4 hospital passes during the game. But we scored a really nice try. Really good try, like lovely little Lovely little kick by Priestland, and obviously Johnny Williams sort of following up. But you know, those are sort of the good things, the bad things, the line out set piece, not just line out set piece, the scrum. We got penalised a few times there, to be honest, and we'll get onto the ref. I do think some of them were 50-50. But with a French referee, they usually sort of see one side and that's it. But the line out, terrible. I think it's harsh to blame Elias because, you know, it's the jumpers as well. But the thing is, we've had this before. We had the Autumn Nations last year, didn't we? And Elias played in the first three games. Line out was terrible. His percentage at Scarlet's is awful, but he's one of Pivac's favourites. And obviously with Ken Owens going down 10 minutes after the team was announced, which is strange. Yeah, he did not have a good game at all. And, you know, there was times where we gambled. I think we lost three or four lineouts in their 22, attacking lineouts. I'm not saying we beat him. I didn't think we beat him on the day. But those sort, you know, if you take two out of them four chances, the game's so much closer, isn't it? So that was poor for us. You know, we scored when Johnny Williams scored that try, we got within 12 points of him. You know, I know it's still far away with the new All Blacks, but the momentum was with us. They kick off. This annoyed me. I think the ref was being a bit finicky, but obviously it's like you know, we give away that penalty, that offside penalty, because he tells Elias to stop running and he takes two steps and blows back. My thing with that is the ball was sailing into the stand. New Zealand weren't losing anything. It's not like they had the opportunity to counter-attack or anything. But at the same time, it is a penalty and it's just stupid. You cannot give. Like, we had momentum. At one point, you know, you've got the crowd with you and straight away you give a penalty away and possession to New Zealand in your 22. It, like, kills you and just, you know, stops you dead. So we look rusty. And against a team like New Zealand, that last 20 minutes, they just turned it on. Something wrong. That Will Jordan try, you know, terrible chase. You've got four, you know, you've got two props and two second rows chasing that kick. And Will Jordan, unbelievable finish. I think the probably Sever Reese try was the pick. Where I thought Owen Lane was a little bit lazy getting back.
Yeah.
I say a little bit lazy, massively lazy. But at the end of the day, you know, after that, the skills on show, just unbelievable. I think they're a mile apart. In terms of skill, they're a mile apart from any team. Maybe Fiji gets close to them, but they're a mile apart. In skills, just from 1 to 15, though. You know, you've got second rows and back rows throwing balls out and stuff like that. Like, so they were brilliant. Should we talk about the ref? Let's talk about the ref, eh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the thing that's annoyed me is all these people coming out saying, oh, stop blaming the ref. No one's come out and said, oh, if the referee had got these decisions right or been a better ref, the Wales would have won. But the game would have been closer and far more competitive for a lot longer than it ended up being. And then when it's referees getting what I consider to be basics wrong, like the Bowden Barrett one, he's gone to catch it one-handed, or he hasn't even. I don't think he's gone to catch it. It's a deliberate knock-on. It's a yellow card, and I don't think anyone would have complained about it if he'd been given. But then going like, well, they couldn't, like, looking if it was a penalty try, then saying he's not getting yellow because there's people coming. It's not football. That's a football excuse. That's not what's said in rugby. And then the bit with the sin bin in, when the guy, the video refs actually said to the ref, no, you need to, like, look at it again. He starts in an illegal position. He's never legal. And then the ref, who was reffing? What's the French guy called?
Mathieu Reynal.
Yeah, saying, well, no, there's mitigation and that. There's no mitigation because the guy's he's always illegal. It's a red card. You know, and decisions that do change games. And say it might not have meant that Wales won, but it would have been a far more competitive game, which would have been good for Wales then as well. And, you know, it can change things. So it's just a bit, for me, just frustrating. I know there's other decisions that they got wrong and, you know, things where Wales got away with one or two things as well. I'm not disputing that. But like for me, I just thought there were two massive points in the game, and if they go Wales's way, you know, who knows? Who knows what happens?
Yeah. So I thought, I mean, the Barrett one, I mean, it still baffles me to the day. If he catches that, sound, no problem. If you go with one hand, I think to me, it's jeopardy. If you go with one hand, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
You're either catching it or you drop, you know, you get nowhere near it. And he got nowhere near it. I mean, like exactly what you said. When they were looking, they were like, who's covering? And you're like, I don't give a shit who's covering. He might have got tackled, he might not have got tackled. Doesn't matter if there's cover. He's deliberately knocked that down. And it was almost like, I've seen other people say it, it's like referees are in awe sometimes with the All Blacks. Whether it is because it was Barrett's 100th cap, I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories. But, you know, in games like that, with, you know, you've got the, you know, two top level international teams, I know the scoreline doesn't say that. You know, you got a big stadium full of fans and stuff, you know, lots of people watching it. I just don't see how you get them decisions wrong. And the TMO should be telling that as well. The TMO should have gone, you know, straight away. I mean, straight away after that, there was a couple of bizarre incidences. There was the one, obviously, we discussed it. I've watched it back. There was the Adams in the air.
I don't even know. That was nothing, wasn't it?
So at first, when you watch it at first, I thought Adams had been taken out in the air. And I was like, oh, fair enough. Maybe he's gone a little bit ahead of the ball, but he did get a hand to the ball. And then I thought, honestly, when it was, I was bloody texting, so I didn't even realise he gave the penalty to New Zealand. And then the TMO then stops Matty Reinal from the line out to say, oh, actually, Josh Adams has jumped into Jordy Barrett, stopping him from jumping. And you're like, that's mental. That is mental. And that's just that, I mean, Brian McNeice is the TMO. Has been awful in the URC or Pro 14 for a long time. That was mental. So that was one of them. We'll come on, we'll talk about the potential red. At the time, I thought, yeah, yellow. I'm happy with yellow. I didn't want to seem like a whinging Welsh fan. And then obviously, we've spoken about this and I've listened to other things. You're right. To be fair, here's the one for me. So I was never arguing the yellow on Laulala. My point was, is how the hell have they not looked at Blackadder, who has gone in with his arm dropped and it's his left arm kind of comes round. That's what's injured Moriarty. No arms tackle. So it's potential yellow for him. So if you're looking at yellow and red, they're down to 13 men for the rest of the first half and to the start of the second half. And obviously then, you know, would it make a difference? Yes, the game would have been closer. Would New Zealand have won? 100%. Like you say, there was a couple for Wales. So, you know, Tane Basham, it wasn't a yellow card, but like he literally just stood his ground, didn't even try and wrap his arms and drop that Blackadder, didn't he, and knocked the ball on.
Yeah.
I text you straight away. I was like, Basham's got away with that then. Ridiculous. And same again. They went to a scrum. There was a replay of it. And how has the TMO not gone, you need to pull that off? He blatantly hasn't used his arms. So it works both ways. And I just thought, as a team, that, I mean, that Laulala thing, you had one touch judge going, Matthew, you need to look at this. I don't, you know, you need to, like the TMO saying, he's not legal from the start. Then you had the other touch judge, the young blonde one, going, yeah, but look, you know, mitigating, he is low. He's just like, fucking hell. Like, it was poor. And, you know, and I think, unfortunately, you know, this, you know, we're talking about this rather than, you know, the top end skill of New Zealand at the end of the day. It were just fantastic. They were just fantastic. And players off the park, you know, they could do this to Ireland. They could do it to anyone, really, to be fair to them. So, you know, here's what it is. Wales have got to lick the wounds. The only thing I'll say is, you know, that they should be better for it fitness-wise. They'll know what sort of level they need to get to now. But it doesn't get much easier for us at the weekend. It definitely doesn't get much easier for Scotland. So obviously this weekend you've got Wales versus South Africa, 5:15 Saturday, and you're playing Australia. What time?
I think it's. I'm going. It's 2:30 on Sunday, I think.
2:30. So you go in the game, mate. You should know the kickoff.
I know. I've got to do like lateral flow tests and bring proof of like I've been COVID jabbed and all that stuff.
Right. Okay. Oh, it's the NHS app, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So obviously we're going to do. I'm gonna pick the team that I go for, but like, apparently the Wales team has been leaked, so we'll talk about that as well. So the team that I'd pick, obviously we're playing South Africa, tough one. We're gonna have to have a new captain, and I've gone for a new captain. Unfortunately, Foxy does not get in my team. He wouldn't get in any of my teams right now, and I'm not trying not to be honourable, but. It is what it is. So I go Wynn Jones. I go Ryan Elias again. There's no one else. Kirby Mile came on against New Zealand, missed 4 tackles straight off. Feel for the lad on his debut. But yeah, I go Wynn Jones, Ryan Elias, Thomas Francis, Adam Beard, Rowlands, Ellis Jenkins, Basham Wainwright. It's kind of a small back row, but I think if the Lions proved anything, you've got to get round the pitch. And I think we can steal some ball with them. They're both physical as well. And then I go, this will shock you. I'm going to go Thomas Williams, Reece Priestland,
yeah,
Johnny Hopkins in the centres, Adams, Lurie Samet, and McNichol. And then I'll go Carey, Bradley Roberts, Will Griff John, Reece Davis. He's only just got called up, but I like him. It's a big physical second row, which is a need. Thomas Youngs, Gareth Davis, Dan Biggar, and I put Sanjay, but I'm not going to put Sanjay because he's had no game time. So I've gone Owen Lane because he covers wing and centre. And captain, I've actually gone for Aaron Wainwright. I just think he's a young enough player. I think he's got a bit of intelligence about him. And he might struggle. He might be a bit quiet at the moment, but I think, you know, throw him in. So what do you think about me picking Priestland over Biggar?
Yeah, well, Biggar came off injured as well on the weekend.
Yeah, he's fit though. He's been announced fit.
But for me, Priestland's come in, he played well. He wasn't given the opportunity. I think he'll, like, you've gone with who you'd go with, but I think he goes with Biggar.
Well, the this is the leaked team. Apparently, the leaked team is going to be Reece Carey, Elias, Francis. There's a rumour that Beard's not fit. So it could be Seb Davis or Ben Carter, Rowlands, Jenkins, Basham, Wainwright, Thomas Williams, Biggar, Adams, Foxy, Tompkins, Lurie Samet and McNichol. That's a rumour. And Will Griff John and that Bradley Roberts are going to make their debuts off the bench. So that's the rumours. I mean, if Adam Beard's not fit, I know he was a little bit off the pace last week, but he's a big lump and he's still a very good player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big miss. I wouldn't have Seb Davis in the second row. He came on last week in the back row and you could just... It didn't work. Our back row was doing really well. Player I didn't mention. How good was RD Surveyor, mind you? For a guy like that, yeah. His carrying is just unbelievable. But yeah, we'll see. I kind of like the team I picked. I think, you know, Johnny Williams and Nick Tompkins, it would have been Halaholo without COVID. But Lurie Samet comes back in. I was thinking to myself, you know, when the Bowden Barrett potential yellow card, when Wainwright passes to Owen Lane and he goes around him, I was thinking, if that's Lurie Samet, he gets up the pitch further and he tries to chip and chase there, doesn't he?
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And
the potential for a try there is different. And I was thinking the other day, I was like, why couldn't it have been him? But interesting, though. If he plays on the weekend, Lurie Samet would be the first time he's played in front of a crowd. For Wales. Well, mental, isn't it? Yeah, he's definitely going. Definitely. It's got to be. All right, then. Scotland.
So I think someone told me they think there'd be loads of changes. I was listening to something, and I thought this was like one of the easiest teams I've had to pick. So I've gone Schoeman, Turner, Ferguson. So it's the same front row. I wouldn't change any of that, especially with Rory Sutherland being out injured. For me, the way Turner played last season, he's the hooker with the shirt. And keep it. I wouldn't bring McAnally in to start or anything like that. Second row, I've gone Gilchrist and Skinner. I just think like the other two got there, obviously Harley and Hodgson started in the last game and did fine, but you know, Gilchrist and Skinner I think are like the first line. Well, it's obviously Johnny Gray and Scott Cummins, but they're both are injured, and I think these two are the next in line. And back row, no change. I've gone Richie Watson, Ferguson again. Scrum half Ali Price, Finn Russell back in at 10. Doohan straight in on the wing with Sam Johnson, Chris Harris in the centre. Now, obviously, I would start Matt Scott at centre because I actually think he's a form 12. He's playing for the best team in England at the moment. And starting when he's there. Sam Johnson, people tell me he's tearing up this season for Glasgow. I've watched Glasgow play this season. He's done all right. He's not done anything special.
Tearing up is quite a statement, yeah, isn't it?
Especially they've lost like two games and stuff like, you know, and they've not been like an attacking force really, not been, the attack's not been amazing. Defensively he's very good, but he always is. Whereas Matt Scott's been very, very good for the team, the top of the league in the English Prem. Chris Harris comes back in outside centre, he's British Lion, he's gonna come straight back in. I wouldn't mind maybe seeing that Tupelotu, see if he can play 12 as a bit of a ball carrying guy. In at 12, but I think it'll go Johnson, Harris, Darcy Graham on the right wing, and then Hoggy fullback. Do you want my bench as well?
So you went Darcy Graham on the wing, yeah?
Darcy Graham on the wing,
Hoggy
fullback.
Yeah, going for
a... And then I've gone McAnally, Kebble and Batty, Hodgson and Haining, that's forwards on the bench, and then I've gone Judge Horn, Adam Hastings and Kyle Stain. Kyle Stain, because he can centre and wing, Hastings, 10 and fullback, and Horn scrum off.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Most of that team is easy to pick. I'd love to see Rufus McLean play, but at the end of the day, yeah. Darcy Graham's been one of the form wingers. I don't think he's a fullback. He's been one of the form wingers in the URC. And, you know, you should really pick on form as well, shouldn't you? So
yeah,
I think Scotland's, I mean, to be honest, Scotland's team at the moment picks itself. I mean, have you listened to the rugby pod, Jim Hamilton? Didn't he say it's like the golden generation at the moment?
But it came to John Barkley said it in the when he commentated on the game, and then Jim Hamilton repeated it basically.
And I'm in complete agreement with him. Scotland rugby has not had this amount of talent all at the same time, yeah. Kind of all in the primes, all good to go. And I want to see Scotland like under pressure because they're actual favourites. You know what I mean? Like, and they've got it right now.
Think they're favourites against Australia?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. Yeah. I mean, just Scotland in general, mate. I massively rate you guys, except against Wales. You know, obviously, don't want to beat Wales, but everyone else, yeah. I just think you've got the teams there now. The team's there, and like the excuse isn't. I think Wales, I think Wales and Scotland have flipped. Whereas Wales are sort of, and I said this last year, it's not something I'm jumping on a bandwagon. We are a team in transition. If you look where we're at now, our core of our team is 30 plus, and some of them, you know, way above 30 plus. Whereas Scotland are starting to get them players, your Hoggies and your Finn Russell, the spine of your team, is all at such a good age where, you know, now I think minimum is, you know, something Wales didn't do, even with our, you know, I'm not going to say golden generation, our best players, we didn't really compete in autumn internationals. That's something I think, you know, we should have done. I think that's something where Scotland should be, and they should also be competing in the top two Six Nations as well. I think that's I think that's their thing now. And yeah, I think you could beat Australia. Yeah, I think Australia missing a couple of players.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, two important ones in Karevi and Cooper. And that's another story for another day. I think Scotland will be confident. You know, so at home, a proper full crowd. Yeah, yeah. I mean, saying that Australia played really well in the Rugby Championship, and I think you can see a lot of improvements in them. I think it'll be tight, but I think you can do it. So, match point predictor, actually, that's quite a nice little segue. into the match pipe before we finish.
We're about five games, isn't there?
Yeah, but we'll just concentrate on our games, I think, because New Zealand, Italy, New Zealand by 54.
So, the first game's Ireland. Oh no, they're both on the same time. So you got New Zealand, Italy. So I'm going to go New Zealand by 50.
So I'll go 54. Ireland, Japan. We go Ireland.
What's going on here? So Ireland, Japan.
Ireland by...
Well, I'm going Japan.
Ireland by 14.
I've gone Japan by 3.
Oh, nice. Then you got England versus Tonga. England by about 64.
Yeah.
And that's not been horrible.
I might even go higher. So I think, well, Marcus Smith might not be playing. I'm going 60.
Some of them players that played for Tonga were from France, weren't they?
Yeah.
The agreement was they could play for Scotland and they've got to go back to their clubs now. And then obviously some more have come in. It's just mental. Yeah. It's so mental. I've got England by 64. Right, okay. And then you've got obviously Wales versus
South Africa. I'm going South Africa, mate, by 12.
I'm going South Africa by 16. And then you've got France versus Argentina.
France.
18. 16, I'll go then.
Wow, now the big one.
The big one.
Oh, shit, yeah, and yours. Scotland v Oz.
I'm going to go Scotland by 12.
Scotland by 12?
Yeah, why not?
Nice.
Last time we beat it by about 40.
Yeah, yeah. Prop got red carded, didn't he, in the first half?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Scotland by 6. I think you're decent, but I think they're decent. I think it'll be close. Finn, to have a good day with the boot.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fantastic. So we're in agreement anyway, except for
I've said Japan.
Except for Ireland, Japan, and you said Japan. The Ireland by 14.
I think I just don't like. It's like Johnny Sexton's 100th cap as well. So I'd like him to
do
garbage.
It'd be nice if him like him and O'Mahony were playing and they lost. Like,
yeah, I'd be happy with that.
We don't hate Irish people, by the way, but some of the players fucking like.
Yeah, agree. But I love that Hugo Keenan. I think he's class.
Oh, mate, there's a lot to like about some of the Irish players. Caelan Doris.
Very good player. Very good player. I love Tadhg Furlong as well. He's class.
Tadhg Byrne. He's just a class rugby player.
Yeah.
When you watch him play for the Scarlets, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right. I think we're done, aren't we?
That's it, mate. I think, yeah. I'll be available next week as well, definitely.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I'll be available. I'm always available. Well, I say that I'm always available and I'm not. Right. I don't think there's anything else, is there?
I don't know. Do you want to tell everyone that we beat James Haskell's podcast?
We had a little bit of a surprise this morning, didn't we? Did you think it was Blag when you first seen it? I thought
it was only when you messaged me. I didn't see it. You messaged me. I was like, what's this?
The tag came up on my phone, you see. So I was like, oh, let's have a look. I don't usually get tagged in anything, do we? To be fair. And so we got tagged this morning, which was nice. It was a bit of a surprise. So we have been selected in the top 25 UK rugby podcasts by feedspot.com. And out of that 25, we've ended up in 15th place, which I will take any day of the week.
Is it House of Pain or House of Rugby?
No, it's the good, the bad and the rugby, isn't it?
Good, the bad and the rugby.
With Tindall and Haskell?
Yes.
Yes, we beat them. Yeah. Don't know how. We don't know how, but we're very, very thankful. We'll take it. But at the end of the day, the only reason we kind of get in them positions or get noticed is because you people are listening to our opinions. So, thank you very much from both of us. amazing. It was a nice little surprise, wasn't it? To be fair,
yeah,
like, and
absolutely.
Unexpected.
Listening to our opinions and our shit patter that we've got.
Well, that's the thing. I think we're more surprised because I think one of our friends, being very polite, said, "Oh, people must enjoy your witty banter." And I was like, "No one's ever said that about us."
I don't think he's been polite. I think he's been sarcastic.
Yeah, well, he's been. Well, it was a nice surprise, yeah, because you know we just like talking rugby. You know, we talk a bit of shit and all that. But I think what makes us maybe a little bit different is we're honest. If we're shit, we're shit. If we're good, we're good. You know, like our opinion.
And no one likes Matt Scott as much as me.
No one likes Matt Scott as much as you. There was someone the other day saying, "I love Matt." There was like a Scottish reporter. He was like, "I love Matt Scott more than most or more than anyone." And I was just like, "You've never met Mike." you'd stalk that lad. You would stalk Matt Scott if you could. If you knew his address, I reckon you'd go down there once.
Hey, fill me in. It's a fucking big cunt, isn't he?
Yeah, but I'm not saying you go walk up to him. You'd probably leave outside his house or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fair one.
Offer him a beer. Offer him a tenant, mate. He'd be all over. Yeah, so anyway, listen, thank you very much. Yeah, we had a massive surprise this morning in the top 25 on Feedspot. Feedspot, legends.
Yeah, we love buzzing, you. Buzzing with them. Trying to start following them, though.
Yeah, we'll start following. Probably have to get agents soon because we'll be, you know, probably have to quit our jobs and become full-time podcasters. Said no one ever.
Yeah.
Said no one ever. No, we just enjoy doing it this way. So, yeah, anyway, thank you very much. We will be out next week, I promise. We are going to be back on. I say this every time when we have a break. But fuck, we'll be on, even if it's just me or just Mike, we'll be fucking on. Someone will be chatting. We'll get my dogs to chat as well. yeah, so we're definitely back next week. Hopefully, Scotland and Wales win. Hopefully, I haven't got a bloody chest infection by next week or whatever, so I don't sound so croaky and coughing down the mic. But yeah, anyway, Mike, you enjoy the game this weekend. Massively, massively jealous. So badly want some live rugby. I might even try and get a ticket for the Australia game, November the 20th. Potentially, yeah.
If you come down, though, you just stay at mine and then just get the train in from mine.
Yeah, so
I'll drop you off. I'll come with you.
Yeah, well, there's still a lot of tickets available for these Wales matches, mate. If you, a lot of rugby clubs trying to get rid of them. So, still, and we've got some of the cheap ones, 25 quid ones. Bargain, aren't it? Yeah, so yeah, I'm massively jealous, but enjoy your weekend in Scotland. Enjoy seeing your family. I'm going to have a quiet one with the dogs. Excited. I'm a bit more excited for the Wales game this week. I do think we'll get beat, but I do think it'll be a more competitive game. So it's a little bit different for me. Whereas New Zealand, I knew we were going to get that. I knew we were going to get smashed. So anyway, listen, thanks very much, and we'll speak to you next week.
See you next week. Boy.